you remember from last time, the goyin did a goyinish zach with Mishlei. He gave us an understanding that Mishlei is an extremely organized sefer that has a mahalach. And his mahalach is based on the idea that the sefer is divided into three sections. The first section he identifies with the word chokhmah. The second section he identifies with the word musar. And the third section he identifies with the word Torah. We spent time explaining a little bit about them, but today I wanted to concentrate on musar. So the Gra, you have the first sheets that I gave you from last time? I just want to read it to you inside. Let me have your copy. The Gra says, Umusar im Yitzray Mizgaber Olov liyaser es atzmai velishbar oisai. He says that musar means that once the Yetzer Hara has you in his grip, Chochmah, let us repeat, is to anticipate the Yetzer Hara in advance before he shows up, and to learn how to prevent the Yetzer Hara from having any shlita over us. But what happens if that fails? So the next, this Melech Oizer, remember? Umayshia Umogen. What is Mogen? Before he protects you. It's prophylactic. What happens if that there's a breakthrough anyhow? Then it's Oizer. During the battle, he helps you. What happens if the battle appears to be lost? Then Mashiach, he has to save you. That's Oizer, Mashiach, Mogen. You'll ask me why the Seder. We'll talk about that another time. But the idea of Chochmah and Musar is that Chochmah is to prevent the Yetzer Hara from ever getting to you. And if Chas V'Shalom, that level fails, then this Musar, when the Yetzer Hara already has you in its grip, how do you fight the Yetzer Hara? So the Goyin says that the word Musar comes from the word Yisurim. It's a very big Chiddush. Because Musar generally is understood as criticism. Shema b'ni Musar avicha. But he's learning that the only way that you can combat the Yetzer Hara is to be miyaser es atzmai. Now the question is, what does miyaser es atzmai mean? That's the question. Now there are two kinds of yisurim. There's yisurim that you impose upon yourself. Now, I have to explain something to you. The yisurim that you impose upon yourself could also be in two categories. One of them is called sigufim. Sigufim is something that is very rarely practiced. Most of the poskim say that we're just not strong enough to withstand the kind of physical torment of fasting all the time, of getting malchus, of tshuvas hamishkol, where we try to do a tshuva which is balancing the aveira. So, I mean, you know, every person succumbed to the heat of his yetzer hara, to the fire that's in him, so he would walk in the snow barefoot for miles, you know. We're not capable of doing that, and there's a very beautiful piece from the Chafetz Chaim, which I would like to read to you, because I have it. I have it in front of me all the time. The Chafetz Chaim writes the following, and you might note it down where it is and look at it yourselves. The Bir Halacha in the Mishnah Brura, Simen Tov Kuf Ayin Aleph. Zog the Bir Halacha the following. This is a Shaloh HaKadosh, but the Shaloh HaKadosh, not everybody has, but everybody has a Mishnah Brura. So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Shaloh in Tov Kuf Ayin Aleph in the Bir Halacha. He says as follows, Ra'isi lahatik poi mashikosav ha-shaloh, and the Shaloh himself is not the Shaloh. He's quoting. And who's he quoting? The Sefer Charedim. So it's the Sefer Charedim being quoted by the Shaloh HaKadosh, being quoted by the Mishnah Brura in the Bir Halacha. The Ariyah Kaddish. The Arizal b'sefer echad k'sivas yad. He saw in a handwritten manuscript, Kol ma shetimtza b'sigufim v'chulu, loy nizkeru ela l'misha eina moloi batoira. All that you find in the various forum about panicking your flesh, in the various, what we call yisurim, called sigufim, samach yud gimel vav pei, sigufim, loy nizkeru ela l'misha eina moloi batoira. This is for people who do not have a shaychus to learning intensely. Avo misha tayrasa yumanusai v'yodeya das v'yiras Hashem lo yechlash v'lo yizbatel milimudai. He should not pinig himself, because that's going to lead to a physical weakness, which will prevent him from fulfilling his level of mitzvahs Talmud Torah. And in other words, it's counterproductive. Yotza scharo behefseido. And it's very interesting. So you'd think that he says, so memela, stay away from sigufim. He says, no, he doesn't say that. And listen to what he says. He says, what about a person who is amolei batoira? Yoim echod min hashavua yisrachik mibnei adam. One day a week he should stay away from the company of people. He should seclude himself. And he should immerse himself in thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ke'ilu kvar oimed lefonov b'yoim hadin. And what should be his attitude? As if he's standing before the Ribbono Shel Olam b'yoim hadin, the day of judgment. He's already up there. And what are they saying to him? And what are they tining to him? And this he has to be mizbeinim with his baidedus one day a week. And then he says, v'yedaber lokel yizbarach, and he should talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What did the great modern Bali Musa, what did he say? He says, you know, davening doesn't just mean Shemona Esrei in shul. Davening means when you're walking on Ocean Parkway and you remind yourself that there's an Eibishter in the world, and you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I need this, and this is my problem, and you're great, and you're wonderful that you created these beautiful trees. And he says also, you know something else? The Ribbono Shel Olam knows English. So he says, who am I talking about? Who's who? Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zechayin Lezecha Tzadik, the Kodesh Levach. It's unbelievable. V'lo yizbatel melimudach yoyim echad, v'yedaber lokel yizbarach kasher yedaber ha'eved el rabbi ubein el aviv. It's very interesting. He mentions both madregas, like a servant talks to his master, but also like a son talks to his tata. That's what he says so far. Now he quotes the Chayyada. Tafilu al averus yiduim, even those averus that we know what the truth is supposed to be, hamavua b'raykeach shetzorich lis anos lekapora kama yomim. The raykeach sefer, lezer raykeach, the sefer raykeach gives you a protocol, a recipe, exactly how to take care of each avera, and he gives you the number of days to fast. Im talmid chacham ubetarasa yumanusay afilu bezman hazeh, even though maybe in certain halachas there's no din talmid chacham bismanazel whatever, but got be certain halachas. But afal pikein afil bismanazel lo yisagif atzmoi kol kach. Rak she yoshuv lifnei Hashem b'leiv sholim v'yivke mikirei salev. He should cry from the depths of his heart v'yilmid yoyser masherei ragil and learn even more than he's used to. Ki atoira he mikve tahara, because the Torah is like a mikveh. That you immerse yourself in the mikveh and you come out pure, so you immerse yourself in learning. The nimshala esh, the chol asher yovei ba'esh, ba'esh yuva v'toher. And whatever came through the fire of the Yetzirah, you pass it again through the fire of Torah. Torah is nimshal ka'esh, haloi kai dvarai ka'esh num Hashem, and you're purified. The yamait mikola ta'anugim, and he should limit his pleasures. The yochal rak kedei kiyum gufo shelo yechlash kedei sheyil lo koyach lavodes Hashem. Blo yelech. Listen to what he says. Blo yelech lishum suuda the kol shkein lesudas mereus. He doesn't mean sudas mitzvah. He means tam. He shouldn't party. V'yishmer Shabbos b'chol proteh v'diktukeha. V'im efshar. And if it's possible, this is the person who's not doing any sigufim, you understand. Yis'an al kol ponim b'chol shavua yoyim echad. Al kol ponim kol yoyim b'hab. He means not b'hab after Nisan and after. He means every montik and donashtik, right? Ad chatzais. For ikar habachiyo v'havidui. If he says the ikar of tshuva is to cry and to be mizvada and to take upon yourself whatever siyogim are necessary to keep the person away from that avera. But whatever it is, their notion of staying away from sigufim is not maybe even our notion of staying away from sigufim, because we feel we're even weaker than that. Go fast every month and donashtik. Abba Lamai said there are tzaddikim, there are yechidim that still do that, you should know. There are. What did Rabbi Avigdor Miller once say? I heard it on a tape. You know, it's true. I do say tikkun chatzos. You know, yes. Like, you know, who says tikkun chatzos? He says, yeah, there are. That's how tikkun chatzos. Of a lemaisa, if a person is paying attention, he realizes that the whole tachlis of sigufim, what does all these svarim have in common? They're telling you that instead of the yisurim that you impose upon yourself, you should rather do a tshuva shleima and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu sincerely, and the ikar of all ikarim, learn as much as you can. Because the Torah is a mikvah of mayim, and it's an eish hametayer b'vasachas. That's what he says. And I keep it in front of me all the time. So, there are sigufim. But getting back to my point, there are also yisurim that you impose upon yourself that are not physical. And that is the kind of yisurim where a person is mortified by his averos. You know, I mentioned the phrase, I believe, in the past, but in any case, the pasuk says, "Ba'boker b'tzeis hayayin." When the person gets drunk and the next morning he has this terrible hangover, but it's not just a physical hangover. The physical hangover helps him understand that what he did was a shtus and a hevel, and that the hanoah was temporary, and that now he's mortified that he was reduced to a behemoth. That same hergish that a person has after he realizes that he did an avera, and the avera had no toyeles for him, and that in the end he just denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he feels guilty as any guilty person could possibly feel. That is a mortification of the soul. That's yisurim. And if a person mortifies himself in that way, it could sometimes be bigger yisurim than the yisurim that he does to his flesh. Because yisurim in his flesh, he feels he already has a kapara from it. But these yisurim come before the kapara. They produce a kapara. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the sincerity of the person's regret. The whole yesod of charata l'sha'avar is built into that. The regret for the avera of the past is built into that. A tremendous sense of failure and the anguish of letting HaKadosh Baruch Hu down. When a person reads the tefillah zaka of the Chai Adam, and he starts reading, you, Ribbono Shelam, gave me all these tools. You gave me hands and feet. You gave me eyes, a mouth, a mind. And they were all on loan. And you wanted me to accomplish great things with them. And look what I did instead. And I don't think there's a heart that's made out of, you have to be made out of stone, mamish. I don't think any heart that's made out of flesh, that when he reads these words, he doesn't feel like a piece of dirt. Could be for 10 minutes. But he mamish feels like a piece of dirt. He says, "Ritake, vas habich getan da? Vas habich getan?" And that feeling is a bigger yisurim than fasting for 40 days. A bigger yisurim than fasting for 40 days. So there are two kinds of yisurim that you can impose upon yourself. There are also yisurim that you don't impose upon yourself, but that the Ribbono Shel Olam imposes on a person. And those are also in two categories. There's one category of yisurim that's purely physical. Person is in pain. Chronic pain. Temporary pain. The person's nerve endings are on fire. And there are all kinds of pains. There's an arthritis, there's a this, there's a that. It's ain't sheer to the amount of pain that a person can suffer in his life. Then, besides the physical pain, there's also a spiritual pain. Depression, there's a certain frustration and anxiety that it's not coming from my hergish of chait, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply punishes a person or gives a person and he can't function. And that's a separate kind of pain, and again, in many ways worse than the physical pain. So the Ramban, in his Teiras HaAdam, he wrote a whole sefer on Avelus. He wrote a sefer on Avelus, the Ramban, Reb Moshe ben Nachman, the great Ramban. And his sefer on Avelus starts out with Bikur Cholim and goes to the Shas Ptira, and then Avelus, Shiva, Shloshim, Yud Beis Chodesh, the whole thing. He was the first major sefer on Avelus. And everything on Avelus in the end comes back to the Teiras HaAdam. At the end of this sefer, he wrote a section called Shar HaGmul. And in that section, he talks about Schar V'Yonesh. Gmul means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compensation or punishment. It means both. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu dishes out. So this Shar HaGmul includes a section on Yisurim. And that's what you have in front of you. I condensed it in the print, but it's word for word. The whole thing is just the Ramban. So the Ramban discusses the Gemara that's very well known to all of us, a Gemara in Brachos Daf Hei. And he starts with this. And in the process, he says some Yesodos in Yisurim that really all of us ought to know. So let's do it together. He says, Matsinu Sha'amu Rabbal Seinu Gemar and Brochus Heyomet Aleph. Imroya Odom She Yisurim Boyim Olav. If a person sees that he's, again, from Hashem, this is not, we're talking about in that I impose on myself. If he sees their Boyim Olav, they're coming at him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yefashpish B'maisav. He must examine his ways. Shenemar, Nach Besod Rachenu V'Nachkor. This is a pasuk, of course, in Megillah Seicha. Nach besod racheinu v'nachkor v'noshuva el Hashem. We have to examine our ways. In the pasuk in Eicha, it's because there's churban. When you encounter churban, one of the responsibilities that results from churban is a self-examination. You have to examine your ways from beginning to end, racheinu, the whole picture, v'nachkor, let us analyze it. Nach besod means to look for it, and when you have a suspicion, you analyze it deeper, and what does it lead to, of course? The Noshuva Lashem. Pishpesh Veloy Motza, says the Gemara. What happens if he did this critical examination and he doesn't find anything, any explanation for the Yisurim that Hashem gave him? Now now I'm not sure, the Olam here, a bunch of tzaddikim, obviously, they come to learn in the middle of the day. So it could be that you are on that Madrega. I find it hard to sense that I'll never find anything. I mean, I could find 1,000 things. I remember when I was a little boy. I mean, I was just married, but it's in a longer time, so it feels like I was a little boy. But I was just married and I had a zayde, my rebbetzin zayde, the Ostrov Kalashina Rebbe, Rebbe Moshe Menachem Spiegel. So he was once before Yom Kippur, and he had the Machzor in front of him, and he says, "You know what?" He tells me a Yiddish. He says, "You know what?" He says, "I say the vidui, I say the alchets, because it's written in the Machzor. And a good Yid has to say what's in the Machzor. But it doesn't have any shaykhus to me." So it was an amazing thing. He was able to say, "It doesn't have any shaykhus to me." At the time I said, "You know, me neither." That was then. Now I look at the alchets. There's not one that's not shaykh to me. So I don't know how I deteriorated tremendously since then, or I grew up. I'm not sure which one. But Lamaisa, the person that the Gemara is talking about, is someone who's pishpesh b'loy matza. He couldn't find anything. So what does he do? How does he explain the Yisurim against him? So the Gemara is trying to tell you something. It's trying to tell you there's no such thing as random. Maybe the Yisurim because, you know, you're mazel. No. Yitle b'bitul Torah. He should be toila in bitul Torah. The whole world asks a simple question. Bitul Torah is a terrible aveira. So what does it mean, pishpesh v'loy matza? He should find that he didn't learn Torah, and that's why he has Yisurim. So what does it mean, yitle b'bitul Torah? All right, Tola v'loy matzah. What happens if he examined Bittul Torah and even that is not a problem? He was not misbattled from Torah? So what about now? Biyodua sheyisurim shel avahem. Then he should know that these yisurim are yisurim that come from the love of Hashem for the person that is having the yisurim. This, by the way, is a revolutionary idea which, if you think about it for a minute, at first blush sounds beyond our comprehension. What does it mean that somebody is so good and so perfect in the eyes of Hashem? So what does Hashem do for him? What kind of matana does he give him? He gives him a good zetz. Now, the Gemara is not trying to imply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sadistic inclinations. So what is the pshat? I mean, it's not even shaykh to say chas v'sholom. I mean, the whole thing is totally absurd. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam toiv u'meitiv, we say it over and over and over again. Now, that's a chelek yesod of our emunah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a toiv u'meitiv. So what is the cheshbon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that he should give us yisurim, and these are yisurim shel ahava? Shenemar, v'Hashem chofetz da'ko echali. Hashem wants the person, kol shakadosh baruch hu chofetz boy, says Rav Huna, a whole list, Rabba, in the name of Rav Schoira, named Rav Huna, kol shakadosh baruch hu chofetz boy, medakoi b'yisurim. What's the additional statement? Ki es Hashem yehav Hashem yoychiach, the person that Hashem loves, because the word yoychiach could be interpreted in a variety of ways. Because teichacha could sometimes mean straightening a person out, giving him criticism, telling him musar in our sense of musar, but not in the sense of yisurim. But when it says dako hechel, he makes him sick. So then you know that it's talking about real yisurim. So this is, and also it says Hashem chafetz. Lamadnu mehem zal. So the Ramban says, we learn from them, sheyisurim boim tchila al maisov haroyim shel adam. Vehin aveiros shaloisa say, shahadin noisein shionesh aleim. Here the Ramban is going to answer the question that we asked earlier. We asked earlier, it says, yifash pish b'maisov, and then it says, pish pish v'loy motza. He should be toile on the fact that he was mevatel from Torah learning. Just a moment, bitul Torah is a terrible aveira. So he says, yeah, the Gemara is saying like this. The first thing yisurim come for, person has to look for his aveiros that he did, the lavim that he was over, all the isurim that he was over. And if he can't find that he was over any isurim, then he should look to the mitzvah saseh, and particularly to Bittul Torah. And that's the Ramban says, that it's not just Bittul Torah. It's all mitzvah saseh. Where does he say it? So he writes further, the fikah, kesher roi shisurim boim olav, roi loy lefash bish b'maisa v'lachsa mehem b'tshuva. Dezeu shenem anach b'sodrochenu v'nachkor v'nashuva ad Hashem. U'pa'amim, she yisurim boim al bitul Torah, v'chein kayoitzei bozeh, v'chein bitulei mitzvah saseh. So Ramban here is mechadish and chidush gadol that is not mefurish in the Gemara. The Ramban took upon his shoulders that when it says what? Bittul Torah, it means the most likely, maybe, of the Bittul Mitzvah Saseh, but it really is just one of many possibilities of Mitzvah Saseh. Yeah?
But in reality, most of the time it's told over an Avera, or over an Azeh, or over Los Saseh, you're doing Bittul Torah at the same time.
You know what the Vilna Gaon said? It says that you should know, Lifnei Miata Osid Litain Din V'cheshbon. So the Vilna Gaon doesn't like redundancies. He doesn't like repetitions. So he says, din, what's din? Din is cheshbon and cheshbon is din. What's the difference between the two that you have to say din v'cheshbon? So the Vilna Gaon said, the din is in what you did wrong. And the cheshbon is for the Bittul Torah during that time. That's din v'cheshbon. So you're asking this question, every time that a person does an Aveira, during that time, he's mevatel from Torah. No, that's Isaac b'mitzvah, but not Isaac b'Aveira. No one ever said Isaac b'Aveira potter min ha'mitzvah. No, he's saying is that...
What happens if I don't wear tzitzis?
No, that's a separate issue. Not wearing tzitzis... not wearing tzitzis and not lighting Hanukkah candles are already two separate issues. You don't have to wear tzitzis unless you wear a beged that requires tzitzis. But if you wear a beged that requires tzitzis without tzitzis, you're mevatel mitzvah saseh. That's what he's talking about. But you're not over an isur in the sense that you ate chazer or you were mechal Shabbos or any of the other isur. You ate chametz on Pesach. If a person doesn't eat matzah on Pesach, he's mevatel and aseh. If he eats chametz on Pesach, he's over alois aseh. And so on. But he's asking stam. You're right. Every avera that you do is involving in it also bitul Torah. But you don't need the bitul Torah to explain the isurim. You have the avera itself. But what happens if you didn't do an avera? You just sat in the chair and you did nothing. I sat in the chair for 4 hours contemplating the moon. I am not over a single avera. Not Lashon Hara, not Chilul Shabbos, nothing. I'm just sitting by myself. I'm doing absolutely nothing wrong. But I'm also not doing what? I'm not learning Torah. So that's Yitlenu Bebitul Torah, according to the Ramban, means if you have Yisurim, most likely it is for what? For Lois Aseis. But if you can't find a Lois Aseis, then you should know that it's because of an Aseis. You should look further for Aseis. What is the Ramban driving at? The Ramban saying that when Yisurim come upon a person, he shouldn't start to krechts and say, oi, what's going on? He should say, nach besod l'cheinu v'nach kaira. And I want to add something. I think it's a very big yisoid. Nobody has a right to fathom Hashem's mind in the sense that I know what Hashem is doing. There's no such thing in the world. The same thing a person says, I know why the Holocaust occurred. It's not shaykh. It's not shaykh. Of us. Every time something happens, there's a mechayev. Not I have now a scientific cause and effect. I can write a thesis. I can prove an axiom. There's no such thing. No human being can be yoyred l'soif day teshal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's mamish not shayach. And it's also not negeya. What is negeya is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a charge. He gave you a command. If it happens that things are going wrong, then a person has an obligation to examine his ways. That's it. It's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing me specifically for this, and I know it for a fact. It's because he might be punishing me for this. But you don't know anything for a fact, ever, about the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga is beyond our comprehension. And it takes too many things into account for us to be able to manage. However, again, when something does happen, there's a corollary that I have now an obligation. So says the Ramban, what's the first thing I look for when I have Yisur, Rahman al-Utslam, bar me not. First thing I look for, Loi Saseh. What happens if a person can't find particular Loi Saseh? He was a Shem Shabbos, he doesn't talk Lashon Hara, and on, doesn't look at women that he doesn't not supposed to, and so on. What could he be doing wrong? So you look for Bitul Aseh. Bitul Aseh, I took my Lulav and Esrik, I like my Hanukkah Menorah, I'm a pretty good guy, I make Kiddush, Havdalah. So the likely Aseh, but it's not the only Aseh, but the most likely Aseh, and that's why it's mentioned in the Gemara, is Bitul Torah, because everybody could learn a little bit more and a little bit better. Yeah?
In view of, let's say, an advanced scientific, 30 years ago, people had smoked a lot of cigarettes, today he has no kids. So we already could say scientifically that there's a cause and effect. So why do you say we can't say that?
No, but we can't say about the Ribbono Shlom's Yisurim that he gives to a person why he's giving us Yisurim for our virus. Cause and effect in science, that's exactly my point. In science, you can find cause and effect. But in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga, it's too much beyond us.
The problem arises in the Yisdati, the person finds, he's not a found of it. He's Masakim, he did Shiva, he was Makabal, he did Shiva, and the Yisurim
is there. Just a moment. That's where the Ramban is headed. The Ramban is headed in your direction. I just wanted to add another interesting comparison. Just like the Ramban did over here, that he said it doesn't mean just Bitul Torah, it means all mitzvahs aseh. I want to give you a good analogy. The Gemara says in Maseches Beya that everybody knows this Gemara. The Mezoinoisov shall Adam Kitsuvim Meirosh Hashanah Vadrosh Hashanah Chutz Meitzois Shabbos Yontif and Talmud Torah. Yeah, Shabbos Yom Tov and Talmud Torah. Comes along the Ritva, and he says, V'hu hadin kol hoitzois al mitzvah Shabbat Torah. You hear? It's much the same idea. Hagam that the Gemara mentions specific things, and you could explain maybe why, but he says, no, it means whatever you do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays you back separately from the Mitzvah of Shalom Kitzum. Just a marshal, I'm not going into that. Says the Rambam. Upa'amim yisurim boim abitul Torah v'chayyotze bohen v'hei bitulim mitzvah sasei k'moshu omar av ketina v'maloch sh'nizgaloloi v'chi anshiso ya'asei v'malei in be'idun ritzcha anshinon. That there's an oinish on an asei when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry in general. So there is such a thing as punishing a person for an asei as well. Aval mishu tzadik gomor ve'ein biyodoy aveiros v'loy bitulei mitzvos ein yisurav elo yisurim shel ava. The Haim Kederach HaYisurim Shepirashnu Lamala. What is the purpose of those Yisurim? Litein Loischoroi Misholim LaOilam Abba. The Ramban in the Shara Gmul says that if there are Yisurim for a person and there's no explanation for them, he's a Tzaddik Yisoid Oilam. The reason is because whatever his schar in Oilam Abba should have been is subsequent to these Yisurim given to him with absolute purity and perfection. And that schar is so much greater than the limitation of the Yisurim temporarily by Olam Hazeh, that he's telling us it's a very good trade-off, even though we don't like it. We're not happy. I want to make a comment over here about this idea of Yisurim. Yisurim shel Ava have a prat, a requirement, that they cannot lead to Bitul Torah. The Maharsha on this Gemara on Daf Hey, for example, says the Gemara here on Daf Hey says that he came in and he asked him, "Chavivim alecha yisurim? Are you happy with the yisurim that you have?" So he said, "Lo yehem b'lo yischarim. I don't want them, and I don't want the reward for them." So he asked the Kasha. You see that the Gemara says elsewhere that Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Shimon ben Yochai's son, Rebbe Lozer, used to call yisurim to come to him every night and leave him in the morning. And these Yisurim were so nerve ayom that he had bandages after bandages. Gemara tells us a whole story that his wife then finally, she used to serve him, you know, very dutifully, a very rich lady who had a tremendous dowry, and she used to serve him dutifully and put on bandage after bandage. And one day she discovered that he's doing this to himself. So she says, for this, I have to take care of you? Stop it! So anyhow, there was a whole asik between the two of them, but the Untershtashur is, the Maharsha says, you see that he's asking for the Yisurim. So why does he say, Lo'yem v'lo'yscharam? So he says, because in the case of Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon, in that story, he did not lose out on his Limud HaTorah. So Yisurim She'ein Bohem Bitul Torah is a plus enough that you can have the greatest of the great, who certainly did not do Averis, looking for Yisurim. I want to add here, you'll see that it's going to take us a couple of days to learn this Ramban, so hold on to it. I want to add something that the Briska Rav said, which is a Meiridika Daher, and a little scary also on some level. There are a lot of very fine Yidden that seem to have a lot of baggage. The Briska Rav says there's a pasuk that everybody knows at the end of L'David Hashem Oiri V'Yishi. Kavel Hashem, Chazak V'Yamitz Libecha, V'Kavel Hashem. Fact the Briska Rav, why the repetition? What does it mean? Kavel Hashem, Chazak V'Yamitz Libecha, V'Kavel Hashem. Zot the Briska Rav, unusual for the Briska Rav, he gives a marshal like the Dubna Magid. The Briska Rav says there was a person who was extremely wealthy, and he had a brother, an Araman, who had nothing. And this brother who was wealthy was kind and gentle and loved his poor brother, and he helped him at every turn. And there was never a moment that the brother who had nothing was in want, because the moment that something came up, food, clothing, shelter, chasana, wedding gown, whatever it was, he was there at the ready and he provided for him. And the kesher between them was ha-flavor fella. One day, the rich brother calls his poor brother in to his office and he says to him, "Mein teirer Bruder, I want to propose something to you. Right now, the way you're going, you are so dependent upon me. And it's embarrassing to you, most probably. I have, and you don't have. And every time something comes up, you need me. You know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to lend you $1 million in one shot. You open up a business. The Eibishter will give you hatzlacha, and you'll be self-sufficient. And then you won't be embarrassed anymore. You'll have your own places, you'll have your own capacity, your own means. And you'll be able to stand tall." The brother liked the idea very much. He borrowed the money, and kachava, exactly as it was predicted, he had the hatzlocha, Baruch Shalom shined with favor upon him. He became equally wealthy to his other brother, and he didn't have to depend upon him ever again. But the kesher between them, because of that, was completely different. Says the unbelievable Yesod, says the Brisker Rav, the Eibishter has a tzaddik that is completely devoted to him, and he wants to reward him. Says the Brisker Rav, if the Eibishter will give that person whatever he could possibly need, then the kesher between the person and the Eibishter becomes weakened, because then the person doesn't have to depend on Hashem, and he doesn't look to Hashem for his hatzlocha, and memeli doesn't daven to Hashem, and he's not mechuber with the Eibishter. So the Eibishter pays a person back not by giving him everything that he needs, but by giving him a bigger kesher. And what does it mean, a bigger kesher? That whenever something heavy comes up, that's even heavier than what was before, he has the ability to feel the bitachon of the kaveh el Hashem, that even this he'll overcome in his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes out that on the surface it looks like the Ribbono Shel Olam is rewarding a person with more pain, with more nisayon. But in fact, what he's doing is he's giving him a greater measure of bitachon, translate a much greater kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The people who are suffering are much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the people who have everything. It's the way it is. And memela, it's not a reward if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him everything. On the contrary, it's almost like a pushing him away. This is very similar, by the way, to the old word of the Kotzker that I'm sure all of you know. The Kotzker asked, what kind of a curse is it that the Nochash was given that he should eat the dirt on the ground? Dirt is always available. And you don't have to process it. And you don't have to plant, and you don't have to harvest. And you're not worried about rains, and you're not worried about magefas, and you're not worried about ganovim, and you're not worried about fire. Earth is the most basic food that you could possibly imagine, and it's ubiquitous. So what is the klola? It sounds like the biggest bracha of all. Says the Kotzker, the Ribbono Shel Olam said to the Nochash, I'll give you everything, but I don't want to look at your face again. In other words, when the Nochash is not going to need anything, he's not going to need the Eibishter either. So there's not going to be any shaychus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our need of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Kotzker, and our need of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Brisker Rav, is the same Yesod, each one expressing it in a different way, is so essential to our hiskashrus to the Ribbono Shel Olam that our punishment is many times what we perceive as a punishment, but it's really a way of connecting to the Borei Olam. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misavel et filosin shel tzadikim. He makes women barren. Do you know what kind of a tsar it is for a woman to be barren? What is it? A tzadikis? A woman like Rivka, you make her barren? Havali banim, says Rachel, v'imayin meisa anoichi. Sarai is akara ein lo valod. What is going on over here? Chana is coming to Shiloh every year, and her husband says to Chana, it'll be all right. Midavnin, and the Eibishter will help us. And one day, she hears a different drasha from her husband. Chana, it's okay, I love you anyhow. You don't have to have children. What does she hear? Says the Malbim, that he abandoned his hope. He gave up. So she says, there's only me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The famous Maisa, I think with the Koshnitz and Magid, also such a Maisa, that a woman came to him, he's a Pale Yeshua, whoever, whichever Rebbe it was. And he said, I can't help you. Finally, she gives a cry, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, no one can help me, not even the Koshnitz and Magid, or whoever the Rebbe was. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, only you can help me. And the Koshnitz said, yes, v'tzivah ungeholfen. This idea that she ran to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you know what kind of Yisurim you have to do that astonishing thing? And to feel abandoned by the entire world, including your husband? What kind of a feeling that is? Fosfil Deibishter. So I'll give you a very good analogy also. The Ribbono Shel Olam played a brinksmanship with Klal Yisrael by the Yamsuf, which is mind-boggling. You take a person out of jail, and you clean him up, and you give him a nice meal, and you convince him that he's safe and secure, and then he feels good. But you take a person out of jail, and you put him in a matzav where any minute the cops can grab him and pull him back again into the jail. And you know that they're not going to succeed, because your agenda is to save him. But you don't tell him that, and you don't prove it. Instead, you put him there on the brink, and you scare him out of his wits. What's going on over here? Why doesn't the Baruch Shalom take them out of Mitzrayim? Kill all the Mitzrayim in front of him. Make them make it known to them that they have nothing to be afraid of. And that's a Yeshua. The Teretz is, he has to set them free. And setting them free means that they have to now turn and have trust in Hashem. And setting them free means that they have to take risks. And setting them free means that they have to make that first Nachshon Ben Aminadav move. And if they don't do that, they'll never become free. There are certain things you have to do. You throw the person into the pool. That's all. It doesn't help. Kenish Launin, into the pool. And he learns. There's a certain inyan of Yisurim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to people, and some of them mamish, they don't know how to be oisahalten. So it says that is the hiskashus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with the person, that he is completely dependent upon Hashem. The name of the Ribbono Shel Olam is on his mouth always, and there's a certain connection that nothing but Yisurim will accomplish. So no revoy, people does ego.